With that, it is our honor to invite Sheikh Ruhullah Rouhani from Afghanistan, who is going to be addressing the believers on this night as we commemorate the demise anniversary of Ummul Mu'mineen, Lady Khadija, Salamullah Alayha. He is going to be speaking about the virtues of Lady Khadija. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. بديع السماوات والأرض ذو الجلال والإكرام وأسأله أن يتوب علي لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم حسبنا الله نعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أعداء الله من الآن إلى لقاء يوم الله. Dear and respected brothers and sisters, first of all, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Secondly, due to the demise anniversary of Lady Khadija, Ummul Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayha, we have to, inshallah, talk about the different aspects and dimensions of the personality of this great lady tonight. But before that, let me mention some few points regarding the importance and significance of this holy month of Ramadan first. As you know, dear brothers and sisters, each day and night of this holy month is like a golden opportunity for each one of us to make use of it, to gain proximity to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perfect ourselves, to inshallah achieve more and more prosperity and happiness both in this world and the hereafter life. Inshallah, to be able to achieve all these prosperities and happiness, let's recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. As you know, the Holy Prophet ﷺ in Khutbah Sha'baniya, in his sermon on the holy month of Sha'ban, when he talks about the importance and significance of this holy month, there are many points mentioned by the Holy Prophet, but just some of them are very much important and significant. Particularly that part that the Prophet ﷺ says that your du'as, your supplications and prayers will be responded, will be answered in this holy month. And he says that even your sleep will be considered as ibadah, as a kind of as act of worship in this holy month. So that is why I think the one of the very blessed and the golden kind of opportunity and chance that everyone may have in his own life is to be alive in this holy month of Ramadan. Because this is the month of purification. This is the month of perfection, we can say. Purification is really, really important. As you know, brothers and sisters, the ulama, the scholars, talk a lot, discuss a lot in their jurisprudential discussions about tahara. Tahara is the main subject or the main topic in our fiqh. Why is that so? Because the Islam is the religion of purification, religion of purity. It means that the main objective, the main purpose of our life in this world is to purify ourselves. Because the day that we leave this world and we will be taken into the presence of our Lord Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to be pure. We have to be clean. Because Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, is the absolute pure. Jannah is the absolute pure place that the true mu'min deserve that. Only the pure people, only the clean people, the clean souls will be taken to Jannah, will be taken into the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the rest will be taken into Jahannam, into the hell. So that is why this physical purification, bodily purification that we discuss in fiqh is important, but more important is the spiritual purification. That we have to purify our souls, our nafs, our ruh in this holy month. That is more important. Because not eating and not drinking is not that much difficult. Sometimes it is said that a camel can not drink for 40 days. A camel can tolerate hunger, thirst for many weeks. If we do not eat and drink for a few hours, that's not a very difficult job, yeah? But the more important thing is that this kind of practice that we practice in this holy month, not eating and drinking, controlling ourselves, it is because of this that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to tell us that, O man, O people, you can control your eyes as well, your ears as well, your tongue as well, even your mind as well, you know? If someone can control his own mind, his own imaginary power, he will never commit any sin. Because Satan deceives man through imaginary power, through imagination. First we imagine something and then we act and we perform that. If someone can control his tongue, his eyes, his ears, and then his mind, then he will be able to control even his imagination. The one who can control his imagination, he is in the highest level of purification. This is what we should seek in this holy month, to inshallah be able one day to control each and everything inshallah ta'ala. This is what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us to present to us, that, O man, you are created purely. Your soul is pure. When we are born in this world, we are pure. The day that we live in this world again, we should be pure and clean. How? By this kind of practices that we practice in this holy month of Ramadan. That is why we always fast. We have different levels of fasting. The pure mu'min, the true mu'min, is the one who is always fasting. How? Controlling his eyes, controlling his ears, not listening to each and everything, not listening to haram things, not watching or seeing or looking at haram things, not saying the haram things, words, not utters the wrong things, not even thinking about haram things, you know? If someone can control all these things, it's a kind of fasting that we should always fast, not only in the holy month of Ramadan. That is Jihad al-Akbar, that is more significant, that is more important, that we have to practice. So we should not restrict fasting and only in this holy month and during the daytime and not eating and drinking. Fasting is a kind of purification that we have to always try our best to purify ourselves, inshallah, so that we could leave this world purely, as the same way that we was born, that we were born purely in this world. So nafs and ruh is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. The source for our soul and nafs is also pure. That's why nafs is also originally pure. So that is why we have lots of discussions in fiqh on bodily and physical purification, that we have rituals for purification in fiqh. And then we have mental, or we can say spiritual purification again, which matters most, which is more important, which is more significant. So that is why, inshallah, I hope that this philosophy of fasting, this, let's say, rationale behind fasting should be understood by our brothers and sisters to, inshallah, deliberately, willingly, and knowingly fast in this holy month in a way to gain, inshallah, that proximity to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the kind of rationale behind fasting. And in this holy month, I think it is also, we are in need of just mentioning some points regarding the poor, oppressed people of Palestine or Muslim brothers and sisters. Just the point that I wanted to mention here is that we are Muslims. According to the Holy Quran, Prophet Adam, Prophet Noah, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Isa, Prophet Moses, all the prophets are entitled as Muslims in the Holy Quran. They are all Muslims. By Muslims, we mean the one who follows and obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and commandments. What we understand from the pure, let's say, religious scriptures and sacred sources and books, we know that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just and fair. That is the reason that we have Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment will be meaningless if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just. You know, because judgment, Day of Judgment is like a court. When you go to the court for justice. The judge, the lawyers, and the court should be just and fair. Otherwise, this court is meaningless. Day of Judgment is exactly like a court. That is the manifestation of divine justice, the Day of Judgment. So, since Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just and fair, and Day of Judgment is the manifestation of His divine justice, we all believe that the oppressed people will not be always oppressed, and the oppressors will never be always oppressors, because there is divine justice. We know in the story of prophets, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Zakaria, Prophet Yahya, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu was salam, ala nabiyyana wa ala alihi wa alayhim salam. When it comes to the story of the poor innocent civilians, poor old ladies, old men and women, kids, innocent civilians who are being killed brutally, it reminds us of one story that is shared, that is common between us and Christians and Jews and the followers all of all Abrahamic religions. That is the story of Pharaoh and Moses. What happened to Prophet Musa alayhi salam? At the time of this prophet, Pharaoh ordered his army, his soldiers, to kill the innocent kids, the innocent babies, the innocent children, they killed that. They did that. And then when Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to save someone, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to save Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, he saved Prophet Musa alayhi salam inside the house of Pharaoh under the care of Asiya, Pharaoh's wife. If Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to save people, he will save. Though Pharaoh killed maybe tens of or hundreds of innocent babies, but the souls of these babies, that's really interesting. It seems that the souls and the nufus and the arwah of these babies prayed to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the next generations, the fathers, brothers, sisters of these babies, they followed Musa. They became the followers and the supporters of the oppressed people. Later, these people succeeded. The victory was for these people. It was Pharaoh who finished, and it was Musa who remained. This is the story of the oppressors and oppressed. In Islamic history, you see that Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sa'ad wa-Salam apparently seems to be oppressed. But it is now Abu Abdullah al-Husayn who is alive. No one is more alive than Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sa'ad wa-Salam, who can gather millions of people from across the globe in a city like Karbala in Arba'in. No one now in this world can do that. We are all alive, but we cannot gather few people. But he gathers millions of people. This is the story of the oppressed and oppressors. Where is Yazid? Where is Hussein now? Where is Pharaoh? Where is Musa now? This is what I can mention regarding these innocent babies, innocent civilians, men and women who are brutally killed and oppressed. These oppressors should know, should take this lesson, should learn this great lesson from Torah, from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from the story of the prophets, of Pharaoh and Moses. Let's recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The third part of my speech actually is regarding Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha. It is really a pleasure, an honor, a great blessing of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is bestowed upon us to gather here and to have this time, this opportunity to talk about such a great lady that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam always and always remembered her. Always and always reminded himself of this lady till the end of his life. Whenever the Prophet saw someone who was to some extent linked with Lady Khadija salamullah alayha, relatives of Lady Khadija, whenever he saw these people, he respected some ladies, some men or women, because of Lady Khadija salamullah alayha. In the presence of his wives, always mentioned Lady Khadija salamullah alayha with dignity, with respect, with honor. To the extent that Aisha, one of the wives of the Holy Prophet, if you refer to the both Sunni and Shia sources, sometimes Aisha herself confessed that sometimes I protested and I actually objected this kind of behavior of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that, why do you always remember? Why do you always remind us of this lady? Even once she told the Prophet that, okay, Lady Khadija was an old lady and we are young. So it means that we are better than her, maybe. It is said in Riwayat that the Prophet really got sad and told the wives that Lady Khadija believed in me in the days when no one believed me. She supported me in those days, in those difficult and hard situations and conditions that no one was ready to help me or support me. Lady Khadija sacrificed for the sake of Islam. She spent all her wealth, properties, for the sake of Islam. Who made such a great sacrifice for Islam? It is mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why, dear brothers and sisters, when we have this chance to talk about Lady Khadija, believe me, it is really a great blessing, a great ni'mah from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spend lots of times here and there studying, reading, talking. But those moments of lives that we talk about these great personalities, like Khadija salamullah alayha, they will be recorded inshallah in our Nami A'mal. In the hereafter life, we will be shown that this time you gathered and you talked about this lady who has maqam shafa'a. We can ask inshallah shafa'a that, oh lady, please intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us inshallah. We can ask forgiveness from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the Lady Khadija's dignity, honor and reputation. Such a lady is the Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha. I cannot talk about such a lady really, honestly. Just I can mention some of the great virtues and merits and fadail of this lady salamullahi alayha, which are mentioned in the very, let's say, authentic riwayat and ahadith. Just few of them I want to mention tonight, to be inshallah among the baqiyat al-salihat of all of us. The first point that I want to mention, brothers and sisters, about this great lady salamullahi alayha, is this, that it is very unique fadila and virtue for a lady that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his salam to this lady via Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. It is mentioned in riwayat Khadijat al-Kubra salamullahi alayha. In both, it's very interesting that in both Sunni and Shiite sources we have this, that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha and sent salam to this lady via Jibreel Amin. Look at the hadith, which is authentic for the Sunni scholars. It is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. أتى جبرائيل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله هذه خديجة قد أتت معها إناء فيه إدام أو طعام أو شراب فإذا هي أتتك فقرأ عليها السلام من ربها ومني وبشرها ببيت في الجنة. This hadith is an authentic hadith in the Sunni sources, that here explicitly it's mentioned that فَإِذَا هِيَ أَتَتْكَ فَقْرَأَ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامُ. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that via Jibreel told the Holy Prophet that tell the salam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min رَبِّهَا from his Lord, from her Lord. ومني and مني جبرائيل وبشرها ببيت في الجنة. So this is a bishara that Jibreel Amin informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Lady Salamullahi alayha of a house in paradise for this lady. First send salam and then bashirha bi baytin fil jannah. Such a fadila, such a virtue and merit, I don't think that could we find about any other ladies in the history from the tongue of Jibreel Amin. It was in the Sunni sources. In the Shiite traditional sources, again we have a very beautiful hadith عن زرارة وحمران ومحمد بن مسلم عن أبي جعفر. This is a very beautiful hadith in which, look, what is this hadith? قال لي ليلة أسرى بي حين رجعت وقلت يا جبرائيل هل لك من حاجة. It is about the story of ascension or mi'raj of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet says that when I was returning from mi'raj to the earth, then Jibreel came to me. This is very nice, very beautiful. Says that حين رجعت وقلت يا جبرائيل هل لك من حاجة. The Prophet told Jibreel that do you want something? Do you have anything that I can do for you? Prophet says, O Jibreel, is there anything? Is there any pleasure that I can do for you, Jibreel? Do you want me to do any favor for you, O Jibreel? هل لك من حاجة؟ قال حاجتي أن تقرأ على خديجتي على خديجة من الله ومني سلام. Tell my salam, yani Jibreel's salam, and Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's salam to the lady Khadija salamullahi alayha. Wa minni as-salam. La ilaha illallah. This is a hadith that we have in our Shiite sources about this great lady salamullahi alayha, that Jibreel told Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when you go back to the earth, just tell my salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salam to the lady Khadija salamullahi alayha, peace be upon her. Look here, it seems that Jibreel and Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are proud of such a lady. When you are proud of someone, you praise, you appreciate this way, that personality and that lady. The next point that I want to mention about her fada'il and virtues, dear brothers and sisters, is the story of Lady Zahra salamullahi alayha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for 40 days you have to isolate yourself, not talking to anyone, not eating anything other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide you, not talking, not looking at anything. Completely a kind of pure isolation was ordered for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For what? For this, that Lady Zahra salamullahi alayha, after this period of time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam isolated himself, then when he came to Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha, after that we have Lady Zahra salamullahi alayha that was born, and the Lady Khadija gave birth to this lady. Look, this kind of order was to the Holy Prophet. We know, you brothers and sisters, we know that the womb should be also pure and clean. This mother was clean, was pure. Even before Islam, it shows that even before Islam, this lady knew the maqam and the position and the status of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. If you go to the history, you know that one of the servants of this lady who was accompanying Prophet ﷺ in many trips, he once went to Lady Khadija salamullah alayha, the servant, I forgot his name, it is mentioned in the historical sources. He talked a lot about Prophet ﷺ, and Khadija was always asking the servants about the Prophet. While Prophet at that time was not Prophet, he was a servant to Lady Khadija. But it seems that the Lady Khadija salamullah alayha knew many things about this man. Because some of the scholars, some of the elites, told Lady Khadija that you will marry the best person in Quraysh who will be the Prophet. It is mentioned in some of the historical sources. When the story of Buhayra was mentioned by one of his servants to Lady Khadija, because this servant saw and witnessed what happened between Prophet and Buhayra, when he talked about these things, Khadija says this, she uttered these words, very nice, that I love wholeheartedly Prophet, please do not continue talking about this, because I already fell in love with this man, love of this man, mahabba of this man is in my heart. If you continue, I cannot tolerate. It is before the marriage, it is before the Islam. It shows, it indicates that the Lady Khadija salamullah alayha from those early life of the Holy Prophet knew that what kind of personality is he. So now the question is that such a knowledge that she had about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't a kind of divinely, heavenly knowledge. We know it when it comes to the time of Islam, that all the people of Mecca, majority of maybe 90-95% of the people of Mecca rejected the Prophet, denied the Prophet. Look what did Lady Khadija salamullah alayha. It shows that this lady salamullahi alayha was a unique lady in the history of mankind, because she was bestowed with such a knowledge, with such a beautiful and let's say divinely and heavenly perception from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise the other people, the people of Mecca, the Quraysh, they did reject and denied the Holy Prophet. And they wanted to kill the Prophet. Prophet left Mecca because of these people. In such a condition, in such a situation, if a lady support the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does it mean? Doesn't it mean that the Lady Khadija salamullah alayha, even before Islam, she herself was a pure lady, was a knowledgeable lady, was a very significant lady. That's why she was chosen to be the first wife and among the pioneers in Islam and Iman and faith. She must be the first lady who aqamat as-salah. Aqamat as-salah is first performed by she and Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. They should be the first founders of what? Of Iman, of faith. They should be the first resistant against what? The shirk, polytheism and kufr. Such a maqam, such a, let's say, dignity and izzah we have for Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha. And just few other points that I wanted to mention, dear brothers and sisters, you can refer yourself. The point is that Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, Imam Hussein, Imam al-Sajjad, these three Imams, infallible Imams, they mentioned Lady Khadija Salamullah alayha in their sayings and hadith very proudly. Once Muawiyah wanted to make fun of Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam and asked that, let's talk about our forefathers. We are offspring of whom? If you look at this hadith, beautiful hadith from Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the great personalities that is mentioned by Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam is his grandmother Khadija salamullah alayha. The same way Imam Hussein proudly talked of Lady Khadija, and the same way Imam al-Sajjad. To whom? To the Amawids. It shows what? It shows that the personality of Lady Khadija, Khadija was a very great position and status and high rank, not only in the eyes of the Ahlul Bayt and followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, even the Amawids, they also knew, and there is no any disagreement about this personality, because about other companions of the Holy Prophet, when it comes to the other companions, we have different views, yeah, you know that. But when it comes to Lady Khadija, no. Everyone respected her. The way that you see Imam al-Sajjad and Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba addressing their enemies, talking about fada'il of this lady. It seems that it shows explicitly that she was accepted, respected, honored by even the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So that's why when we talk of this lady salamullahi alayhi, and also in the sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen, in the saying of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, Imam Hassan al-Askari, Imam al-Sadiq, we have lots of ahadith narrations regarding the fada'il of this lady. Since we are running out of time, I guess I have to suffice to mention just these few points. Just let me mention this phrase of hadith narrated from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam about this lady. Imam al-Sadiq says that وَهِيَ سَيِّدَةُ نِسَاءِ قُرَيْشِ وَقَدْ خَطَبَهَا كُلُّ سِنْدِيدٍ وَرَئِيسٍ قَدْ أَبَتْهُمْ فَزَوَّجَتْهُ نَفْسَهَا لِلَّذِي بَلَغَهَا مِنْ خَبَرِي بُحَيْرًا. This is that the Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says that she is the master of the ladies of Quraysh. And also it is mentioned in some other riwayas that she is Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlul Jannah as well. This lady salamullahi alayha. That many tribal leaders, rich, wealthy people came to this lady to marry her. But she rejected. She only accepted this from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the point that should be mentioned about a kind of isma in this lady that we can mention, a level of isma, is this, that look, when I talked about the fada'il and virtues of this lady before Islam, you know that before Islam, she, this lady, had lots of servants, men and women, poor and rich, maybe young and old. But the point is that at that time, you know, how was the cultural situation of Mecca? How were the people of Mecca, you know, in terms of morality, ethics, I mean. But this lady, salamullah alayha, did not pollute herself with any kind of wrong deeds. While she had the chance, she was rich, she was wealthy, she could do lots of things, drink, I don't know, enjoying different kind of pleasures. But she controlled herself. She remained pure and clean from any kind of sins before Islam. let alone after Islam. Such a lady we had in the history, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah enable us to receive the shafa'ah of this lady, salamullahi alayha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable inshallah our mothers, sisters, daughters, wives to achieve inshallah to receive the shafa'ah of this lady. Peace be upon her inshallah ta'ala. She was such a lady that when she died, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself kafanaha. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself did the ghusl and kafan of this lady. And in some of the ahadith it is said that the Prophet, before burying this lady, he placed his own body inside the grave of this lady, salamullahi alayha, and addressed the grave of this lady that she is my Khadija. Such an action we do not see in the history, particularly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he covered the sacred body of Lady Khadija with his own abba, salamullahi alayha. Now let's tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Prophet, you perform the ghusl for Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha. You covered the sacred body of this lady and you buried this lady salamullahi alayha by your own hands. Ya Rasulallah, when it comes to the story of Karbala, Ya Rasulallah, you are not in the land of Karbala. Your son, your grandson, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, when he addresses Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam in ziyara nahiya al-muqaddasa, my rawda, my musibah, is some of the phrases of this salam that Imam al-Asr wahun al-fida addresses his grandfather Imam al-Hussein this way: As-salamu ala murammal bid-dima, he is addressing Abu Abdullah this way, that peace be upon you who are saturated in his blood. As-salamu ala mahtuk al-khibaya, peace be upon him who stands where violated on the day of Ashura. As-salamu ala ghareeb al-ghuraba, peace be upon the loneliest of the lonely. As-salamu ala sakini Karbala, peace be upon the one who is at rest in Karbala. Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Rasulallah, you were not in Karbala when Ta'ifatu Bani Asad, when the tribe of Bani Asad came to bury the bodies of Shuhada, martyrs of Karbala. They could not identify the body of Shuhada. They were hayran, who is, which one is the body of Hussein, which one is the body of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, which one is The body of Ali Akbar. They didn't know how to bury these bodies. Suddenly they saw Imam Sajjad. Imam Sajjad called them that bring me, O people of Bani Asad, a piece of hasir. They collected pieces of bodies inside that hasir. And they helped Imam Sajjad to bury this body. Even they didn't know to whom this body belongs. When the body was buried by Imam Sajjad, they were waiting Imam Sajjad to come up. But they saw the Imam start crying, kissing this body, talking with this body. Then they understood that this body they collected in the hasir, this body was the body of Hussein. Ya Hussein, ya Hussein, ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin, sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabi yanqalibun. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma arzuqna tawfiq al-ta'ah wa bu'ad al-ma'asiyah wa sidq al-niyyah wa irfan al-hurmah. اللهم ارزقنا خير الدنيا والآخرة واصرف عنا شر الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات سيما أموات الحاضرين. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم جميعا وارحمهم وإيانا واحشرهم وإيانا مع محمد وأهل بيته الطاهرين بعظمة سورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الإخلاص والصلوات.